Joining us now on the line is a good friend of the program. It's been a couple of years since we brought Dan Hicks on the show, NBC Sports, anchoring their golf coverage and going into year number 10, a milestone year for Dan and Johnny Miller on NBC, year number 10 of their grouping in the booth, and they do such a phenomenal job each and every week. And Dan, good morning to you. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hey, it's my pleasure. You know, I think it has been a couple of years since I've been with you guys, but so I was thinking, well, maybe the first one didn't go so well. So it's good to be back with you guys, and it's good to be back in the midst of our Florida swing here in Miami right now.
Absolutely. Now, we do want to talk about a little bit about the first three rounds of the CA going into today's final round, but we were just kicking around in the last segment some of our favorite pairings all time as far as golf television coverage goes, and we talked a little bit about Jim Nance and Ken Venturi and Pat Summerall before Jim Nance with Ken Venturi and guys like Jim McKay and Dave Marr. And you and Johnny are really turning into be a great pairing now in your 10th year. What's it been, as far as you and Johnny goes, what's it been like for you guys for the last decade?
It's been absolutely a thrilling ride. And anytime you're with Johnny Miller, it is kind of like buckle up the seatbelt and try to hold on, which makes it fun. And we did make that point at the beginning of the season that it's Johnny's 20th year at NBC, and it's our 10th year together. And it's hard to believe it's been that many years. I mean, it just seems like yesterday when we were doing the Tiger U.S. Open win in 2000 at Pebble Beach by 15 shots, but that was the first U.S. Open that I had done with Johnny in the booth. It's just a great treat each, you know, week in, week out to work with a guy that says so many interesting things and is able to do them in, you know, 15, 20-second bursts, which is not easy to do. Excuse me. So it's great. It's not only Johnny, it's the whole crew. We've now been working together for so many years, and we just anticipate each other's moves, and it's just we really appreciate where we've come in this business to be able to be together for so long. And I think it does show in the end product that it is a pretty well-oiled machine, and that goes from top to bottom, from the production guys in the truck to all the announcers.
Dan, as Russ mentioned, we were talking about some of the older guys like Summerall and Venturi and Jim McKay. Who did you really like growing up to listen to with golf? And I threw in Charlie Jones, too. Who did you really like when you were growing up to listen to with golf? And do you listen to anybody right now that you really like?
Yeah, you know, I like to take things from all the announcers, because I think, especially when you've reached the network level, there's a certain expertise there that has enabled you to reach that level, and you're good, and you've made it, and there's a reason why you're there. Growing up golf-wise, my favorite team was, I've always been a huge Jim McKay fan. I just think that he captures the picture and the story and the feeling of an event better than anybody that I've ever seen. And I'm also partial to Dave Marr, who we worked with for so many years on the ABC telecast. And then we had the privilege of having Dave with us for a short period of time. It was way too short before he succumbed to cancer back in the 90s. So to be able to work with Dave and to be able to see the classiness of that guy, and I actually did meet Jim McKay briefly when we did a Winter Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake City, so the opportunity to be able to meet those guys and actually talk with them after watching them for all those years was great. And television has changed. I mean, it was a kinder, gentler type of generation as far as the criticism of the golfers in the game, but the game has changed. It's reached a new level, and I think the announcing's changed a little bit in the styles of it, but that's who I grew up watching, and that's who I admire, definitely.
Dan Hicks of NBC Sports joining us here on the line. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. NBC, of course, is fully entrenched on the weekend golf coverage here during the Florida swing, and it began last week at the Honda Classic and then continues, of course, next week in Tampa and then in Orlando at Bay Hill for the Arnold Palmer. And Dan, you know, I know a couple of weeks ago, actually probably closer to a month ago, during the Pebble Beach broadcast, Jim Nance and Nick Faldo and Ian Baker Finch talked about their yearly outing at Cypress Point during the week. And I'm curious, for the NBC crew, yourself and Johnny Miller and those guys, do you guys play golf during the week on each tour stop?
We like to. If we can, the opportunity's there, we'd like to take advantage of it. But I can't tell you how many times that the golf clubs have never got out of the travel bag, even though they travel with us. Sometimes we don't get out, but we do make it a point. And one of the neat things about everybody on our crew is that everybody's got a real passion for golf. And obviously guys like Gary Koch and Bob Murphy and those guys like to play as often as they can because they like to kind of keep their game sharp when they play on the Champions Tour. But, you know, from Tommy Roy, our producer, who is the son of a golf pro, and Tom Randolph, who is his co-producer, who actually played on the UCLA golf team, there's some pretty good competition. So we love to get out and play. So, you know, I got the clubs with me all the time, and definitely we like to get out and share the passion for the game of golf as much as we can. And hey, we get great opportunities to play some great courses. And the neatest thing about it is, you know, all the U.S. Opens that we've done, I've pretty much played all the U.S. Open courses in the past 10 or so years in championship condition. And, you know, it's enough to play an Oakmont or an Oakland Hills or a Pebble Beach or a Shinnecock, you know, on an everyday basis. But to play it set up for a U.S. Open is an eye-opener. So we've had a chance to play golf courses like that as well, set up like that, and it's a real treat.
Well, Dan, along those lines, and we will eventually talk about the championship here, but along those lines, now you piqued my interest, you know, playing those golf courses. Tiger made a statement at Oakmont that a 10 handicapper couldn't break 100 on that course. I don't know what your handicap is, but can you gauge that? I mean, is that a truism that, you know, in that championship condition, a course like Oakmont or Shinnecock or Pebble Beach, a 10 handicapper wouldn't be able to break 100?
Yeah, you know, it's really kind of a perfect line because, you know, I actually, when we did the first one last year, the Golf Digest U.S. Open Challenge at Torrey Pines, side of last year's U.S. Open, I played behind the guys in a practice round on Thursday, the day before the event, which was taped on Friday. And I am right now a 6.6 index. And so, you know, basically I was about a 9 handicap on that course. So I was kind of in that range of the guy they were talking about. And I broke 100 by 1. I shot 99. And, it took every ounce of courage and perseverance that I had to break 100. And so it's really a good number for a 10 handicapper to see if you can break 100 on a U.S. Open golf course. You have to play pretty well. It sounds surprising that you got to play well to break 100 for a guy that's a single-digit handicap, but that's how hard the golf courses are, and we're going to do it again this year at Bethpage, and I think that Bethpage, all in all, is a tougher golf course than Torrey Pines. It's longer, it's tougher, it's got more elevation, and I think it's going to be fun to see Michael Jordan, who's going to have Fred Couples on his bag, caddying for him. It's going to be another fun event. I'm looking forward to seeing if the next guy can break 100.
Dan Hicks anchors NBC's golf coverage. He joins us here on the line. Russ Evans and Pat Rooney Jr. with you. Golf Exchange presented by the Honda Classic. That was awesome last year, Dan. And we had John Atkinson on the golf show a couple weeks before that broadcast.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately wasn't able to break 100. But you shot 99. I think Justin Timberlake shot 99 as well, if I'm not mistaken. Yeah. And Tony Romo, who's a hell of a golfer, I think he's a 2 or 3 handicap. He shot 84, if I'm not mistaken.
That's right.
Matt Lauer did not break 100. I think Matt Lauer shot 100 or 101 on the dot, and Atkinson was like 113 or something like that. But this year, as you mentioned, it is at Bethpage. Michael Jordan is one of the celebrities. Any word who the other two guys are, and how is it going as far as the amateurs competing for that 4 spot with Golf Digest?
Yeah, well, we haven't named yet a couple celebrities to join Jordan and the amateur. They're still formulating that. But, you know, they changed up the competition a little bit to get in, to be the John Atkinson of this year, to be the amateur that joins the celebrities. You have 6 words. You had 6 words. I'm not sure when they cut off the competition as far as when they take the last 6-word reason why you should be a part of the Golf Digest Challenge. But they had all these, articulate essays that were handed in last year. And the guys at Golf Digest actually read every single one of them, and they numbered like 15,000, so it was crazy. So they decided to go 6 words, tell us why you deserve it, and they've had some great responses. And if you've looked at some of the issues in Golf Digest, you've seen them, and people, I'm telling you, they will put their thinking caps on and be as creative as they possibly can to be a part of this thing, because who wouldn't? I mean, what golfer wouldn't want to get out there in front of the cameras and put his game on display? Maybe some wouldn't, but it's a dream of some guys to get out there and kind of feel that tension in a little bit of a way that a PGA Tour player does, and play a golf course in championship conditions. And, you know, hey, even if you don't play well, you still got a great story to tell your friends, and you've got you got the NBC tape to kind of prove that you were a part of it. So I think it's a great idea. We'll see how many years we can do it. It may be one of those things that kind of runs its course in a few years, but I think right now it's still extremely entertaining.
And Dan, our producer, Colin Holder, doing a great job as always, Googled the contest and went on golfdigest.com, and the submissions have closed, and in fact, this coming Wednesday, March 18th, is the first day that golf fans can go online to golfdigest.com and start voting on the finalists for that four spot. So March 18th, this coming Wednesday, our listeners can start going online, golfdigest.com, and start voting on the finalists, five or six finalists, I think, for that one amateur spot, along with Michael Jordan and a couple of other celebrities this summer at Bethpage in Long Island.
Yeah, I mean, that's great. I think it's they just keep fine-tuning the competition, and I think this one's going to be even better than last year because people kind of have a little bit of an expectation of what they're seeing. I mean, just a quick story from last year. We got on the first tee at Torrey Pines. There was all this anticipation. And I get up on the first tee, and there is Fred Couples standing there. I'm like, Fred, what are you doing here? He's like, you think I was going to miss this? So, I mean, it really it captured a lot of people's attention from the PGA Tour Pro and on down. So it's going to be another fun year with us.
Hey, Dan, obviously want to ask you a little bit about the current championship, the CA championship down there at Doral. You know, a bunch of storylines. Mickelson, you know, rounding into form, maybe getting his game ready to you know, start really competing again in the majors after the fallout he had at Wingfoot a couple of years ago. And a young guy, Nick Watney, who's already won this year, relatively young, 27, who's already won this year, battling Phil kind of in that last twosome. And Tiger, you know, now making the full return after the eight-month layoff. You know, give me some thoughts. You're down there. What are you feeling? What are you seeing? Is Mickelson back? Is Tiger going to be able to compete this year? What are your thoughts on them as well as this championship?
Well, just on Mickelson, I got to say, I got to appreciate a guy who's going to tell everybody how, you know, easy the game is right now for him. And, you know, and I was just thinking to myself and talking with a few of the other NBC guys, you know, you never hear Tiger say, hey, this is the best I've ever hit it in my life. This is the best my short game's ever been from 50 yards in. I mean, if Tiger's playing well, he's going to just basically say, yeah, I'm playing pretty well, but I always can get better. And so this whole message from Mickelson this week that he's playing the best golf of his life, I think is pretty good candor. In as much as, you know, it's like our old friend Dave Marr, who we were talking about earlier, used to say, you only borrow it for a while, which leads you to believe, how long can this Mickelson zone last? I mean, you're never going to play this well forever, and is it going to stretch into Augusta? Is it going to stretch into April? You know, maybe it will, but I think it's going to be interesting to see Phil perform today. I think he's the clear favorite over Watney, but that's been one of the messages that I've come away with, is how effusive Mickelson has been with his praise for his own game. And, you know, he's an incredible talent. I mean, his short game, he's already chipped in four times. He nearly made a hole-in-one at the 13th yesterday. He's just got incredible talent, and if he wins here today, he will be as close to Tiger Woods. He will leapfrog Sergio Garcia for second in the world, and he will be as close to Tiger for the number one spot as he's ever been in his entire career, and that will set up a great lead-in and build-up to the Masters and even Bay Hill, where Tiger, we expect, will play next. You know, will Mickelson leapfrog Tiger for the very first time in his career and for the first time ever be the number one golfer in the world? I saw Mickelson last night and I asked him about it as we sat him down for a quick interview, and he pretty much deflected it, saying, well, I've got to take care of business today. And I said, hey, fair enough. But you got to believe that's going through his mind as he goes for this title today.
Yeah, it's hard to believe that Phil Mickelson's never been number one in the world rankings. It's even harder to believe that Mickelson has never won a World Golf Championship. And today is his best shot. He's, of course, going into the final round paired with Nick Watney, and those two are tied at the top, four shots above everyone else. Today's coverage on NBC, 3 to 7 p.m., 4 hours of coverage from Doral for the CA Championship. Dan Hicks will anchor that coverage on NBC along with Johnny Miller in the booth. Dan, as always, thank you so much. We're going to make sure it's not 3 years again before we have you on the show the next time.
My pleasure, guys. Anytime, and I look forward to speaking with you again.
All right, thanks, Dan. There he is. Dan Hicks does a phenomenal job. Great job in the booth with Johnny Miller each and every week when NBC has the golf coverage on the weekend. Joining us on Golf Exchange, presented by the Honda Classic.